Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
251.
251.
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Hey, Andy, going pretty well. And yourself?
Going pretty well as well. It's going as well as could be expected.
Nice.
It's going well.
Good.
Yeah. How was your week?
Week was pretty okay.
Excellent, excellent.
Let me pull up my brain to see how my week was. That is not my brain.
Is it your brain on drugs?
I may have moved my brain to a different screen.
Well, that's probably not good.
I did.
Singularity can't come fast enough.
No. That's stupid. Okay. Really good week. I mean, not much has changed. It's mm-hmm. a new month. We had the whole fall back time change thing, which was, you know,
we'll talk about that a little bit later because of a question. But that whole thing happened.
Yeah. Ray got her insides taken out and is now wearing the cone of shame. So she was.
They need to make those spayed. For people.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Only they're inverted.
What's the joke? Better spayed than clubbed?
It was Halloween. We actually did something for Halloween. People had asked what we were going to do. Ooh. And actually, on Halloween evening, we went to a little. It's a very unique dinner theater place called Cafe mm-hmm. Nordo.
Yeah, I've heard of Cafe Nordo.
Yeah, they have a very high-end chef that they do a run that's usually around a month, maybe a little more, and do a very unique show. Jen has seen, Jitterbug Perfume, which was a book. Can't remember. Robbins?
Tom Robbins?
I think so. The same one that did Cowgirls Always Get the Blues. And
I think that's Tom Robbins.
I believe so.
I believe, yeah.
So they kind of adapted that book, which was apparently pretty difficult to do because there's a lot going on. But we saw one called Some Girls' Names, Toys in the Attic. No, it was this Veronica's Tea Party or something like that. And... So everything made you as an audience member feel like you were toy sized. So right. there was like this huge stool, this huge Jack in the Box, and all the actors, actresses were various toy types. So mm-hmm. since it was Halloween, we dressed up. I took the easy way out and just went as G.I. Joe. And Jen did makeup and dressed up like a little doll. And then we went okay. and they give you a 4-course meal and it's mm-hmm. always something high end and tailored to what the show is. So like our appetizers, they were basically different spreads to put on a cracker. You're supposed mm-hmm. to be a Ritz cracker, but since we're doll size, they made them. So they were like, you know, 6-inch round Ritz crackers.
Right.
And
it's
then
platters.
Yeah. And then a couple quote bonbons. One was liver pate, chicken liver pate, and one was like a mushroom pate. And then most of our listeners, maybe Gordon Duke knows, back to a time where you got candy on pieces of paper. And they were called buttons. So they did the same type of thing, only like one was avocado, lime, and cilantro, and one mm-hmm. was, you know, different things. So they just squirted them out in these little domes that were buttons on your piece of wax paper. And then you'd take those and spread them on. They had smart. I put pictures up on Facebook of almost everything if I didn't forget to eat it all first. But yeah, it was really interesting. High end food. The show was very unique, very entertaining. And they also serve, you can either get just straight spirits or they do like a flight, a wine flight and a spirits flight. And they do mixed drinks pursuant to whatever the program they're doing. I was not a fan of almost any of the ones I got. but I drank them anyway because they're paired with the meal and they kind of go with what you're eating, but
it was
a lot of fun, nonetheless, you know, all that great food, good entertainment. It was a good evening. And then I took, there used to be a casting director in town here, named Steven Salomonovich, who had complete casting. And once he saw the way that, casting was going, which is self-taping, and he calls it cast corralling now, because there's very little artistry left up to the casting director to kind of do anything. So self-tape is just you and your camera doing your thing. Maybe someone's reading some lines. You're not in the room with anybody. You don't get a chance to, you know, make some changes due to whatever you decided wasn't what the director wanted, et cetera, et cetera. But he has this class that I have continued to miss. And finally, I got into this one. It happens to be his last class for the foreseeable future because he just sold his home and he and his wife are going to do some traveling and decide what they want to do with the next chapters of their life. So he is leaving the area, and I was lucky enough to get into this class. One of our listeners, Mr. Tom Brophy, was also in the class with me. And, it did not disappoint. It was a very good, class. The good news is, well, for me, for some, I don't know. Some news is I may be trying to start up my acting class again. So that's kind of interesting. I hadn't thought about doing that for a while, but, there was kind of some interest, and Steven and I are very similar in approach. And Tom, of course, thank you, Tom, let it slip that I used to do that. So then people were asking me about it, so.
Nice. Very cool.
I may get back into that.
Nice.
But that was about my week. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And Seahawks won in overtime. So thank God.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go sport team.
And it's really God easy. It's the Seahawks. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I know. Too many places, one might say. So.
No,
at least
it's
not the Mariners.
Say.
my week was primarily spent working. I did a bunch of auditions at the front half of the week. I haven't heard anything back on any of those, but that's pretty normal. Let's see. Halloween, I was at work for both Halloween and my birthday. And they were, so basically we didn't get back in time. I don't think we had any trick-or-treaters anyway, but we wouldn't have gotten back in time for them. So we basically just went to this weird little diner in Port Orchard. It was pretty fun. You'd like the place a lot, I think.
Is it down on the water?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It is. So it's across from Albertsons. So on Mile Hill Road or whatever.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. Lots of, you know, it's, you can tell it's a good diner because there's a bunch of dirty ass license plates on the wall. And then nothing really on Friday, but we did on Saturday we went to Manchester Park. which we'd never been to before. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So took a bunch of photos. They're on Instagram. And then we put together a lot of, you know, we put together a lot of furniture. We're still doing that. So that is what it is. But yeah, that's about it. Played a little bit more Outer Worlds, but not very much. Kind of really wanting to get the time to play that because it's amazing. What I've played so far has been great. And I did start watching The Expanse. The first season is a little rough. I've heard it gets very, very good mid-second season, so I'm going to push through. But the first season is definitely, well, it's super derivative, for one. It's like Battlestar, Firefly meets, you know, I don't know. It just feels super derivative. Up front. But again, I've heard it gets really good starting in the second season. And, you know, it's interesting. It's not what I would call great, but it is interesting so far. Yeah, and then hopefully later tonight, depending on how late I get home, I'm going to try and watch The Watchmen from yesterday. So,
how has that been? I'm kind of waiting to let it all go.
So, yeah. So here's what I would say about The Watchmen. If you liked the comic and did not like the movie, you're going to like the show.
Oh, okay.
So the show is, they're not, the show is not a retelling of the comic. This is after the events of the comic. So this is a continuation of The Watchmen.
Okay.
And that makes it very interesting to me. So yeah, I would say that if the ending of the movie pissed you off, this show is retribution.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Plus, it's got Louis Gossett Jr. in it, dude.
Oh, nice.
Can't go wrong there. Yeah. but yeah, that's about it. Found out how fucking expensive Hue bulbs are. They're really proud of those.
How what?
I bought a how expensive Hue bulbs are.
Oh, the Philips Hue. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bought a starter kit. Which is basically my suggestion is just keep buying starter kits because it's fucking cheaper than buying the individual bulbs and just throw the damn hub away. It's super wasteful, but it's like printers. So yeah, the bulbs are like, I wanted to get a bunch for the living room and we have those stupid recessed cans for our lighting.
Yep.
Those bulbs are $50 each. And there are seven. And then the little tiny bulbs that go into like the chandeliers, those are $50 each. Each. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Anyway, I mean, I can't make one myself. So, you know, there's something to be said there.
Yeah, but aren't there a number of off-brand Wi-Fi bulbs that aren't Hue?
Probably. I don't like buying off-brand bulbs. I've read too many stories of like, oh, I was playing a game and my house caught fire. So hard pass there. but we've already got the Hue controls all set up and everything. So nice. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it. But anyway, that's where we're at.
I will be interested to hear the progress on that because I've been toying with. We've got the guy put LEDs in everything here, which is great.
Right.
Except that I get a hum. He didn't do the wiring real great.
That's not good.
But I think it would be nice to be able to control some things, have some different colors. You know, so when you're watching TV, you can go, okay, give me this nice dark black purple so that I can see things, but it's not like this awful light coming down. So I think that would have some benefit for me anyway.
Right, right. Yeah, So the thing that I like about Hue, obviously, is being able to like I don't give a shit about the whole, you know, intruder alert, all that shit. But
intruder
what I like
alert.
Is being able. Oh, you've never heard of the intruder alert thing? Okay, so if you have Alexa, which I don't, but if you have that type of thing, you can set up macros. So one of the popular things to do with Hue bulbs is when you yell intruder, you know, you yell like Alexa intruder alert, all the lights go red, and then Flight of the Valkyries or Ride of the Valkyries starts playing or whatever. You know, it's really funny. Yeah, I'm more interested in like, hey, you know, I want to watch a movie. Let me pull up my phone and tap movie. And all of a sudden I've got a little tiny bit of light, but not too much. And it's the right, you know, it's the right shade. But also, oh, shit, I dropped a pin or something.
Yeah.
So I also want to be able to have like bright lights in the room. And that's been really cool. You know, when we were in 650 square feet, three bulbs just about did it.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
True that. So what's the starter pack include and what's its cost?
So the $100 starter pack includes four, I think they're A19 bulbs, which are your standard 60 watt replacement rounded bulbs.
Okay.
Those bulbs are, it costs $55 for two of them. So you're already getting the bulbs at a discount.
Yeah.
By buying them in the starter pack. Plus you get the hub, which the hub connects to your network and basically controls everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the starter packs are the way to go if you don't need specialty bulbs. If you need specialty bulbs, you're fucked and you're just going to have to pay a lot of money for them. And then this was a funny discovery. So we have a, we basically got a gift card to Sears because of a bunch of mattress fuckery. Never buy anything at Sears. That is my Bardic endorsement. Fuck them. They fucked everything up. They basically screwed up our delivery for 3 weeks, you know, which would have been no big deal except for nobody was willing to help us until Aaron just literally went to the store. She had to go to the physical store. Nobody on the phone was able to do anything. And then it turned out they were completely wrong. They weren't delivering because they were like, you need two of these bases. And we're like, yeah, we ordered two because you said to order two and they're 750 a piece. And here's where we paid 1300, you know, whatever. And it's like, cause we get a discount when you buy them together. And they're like, no. And so we went through all this shit. Finally, Aaron goes to the store and they agree to send us the second one for free, which isn't for free because it's what we paid for. Well, then they finally fucking deliver. And guess what? You don't need to. So now we have an extra one that's in Michael, you know, in Michael's room, because they just fucking delivered an extra $1,300 fucking base that they weren't. And they refused to deliver the bed until we got the second base added and we didn't even need it.
Wow.
So fuck Sears. Yeah. Don't do Sears. Sears is stupid. Anyway, so we have a gift card and I went to the Sears website thinking maybe they have Hue bulbs, right? And you know, we've got this money to spend. We can only spend it at Sears. You know, if we get Hue bulbs with that, who gives a fuck? It'll be great. So I go to the Sears website and type in Philips Hue and I get results and they're really cheap. The results are like 30 to 40% off of what I'm seeing on Philips' site and on Amazon. And I'm like, huh, well, that's great. And then I notice there's like this little weird small print underneath and it's like sold by, and it's like, you know, D's Nuts 420 or some shit. They're literally, Sears search is returning eBay results. They're like getting a kickback directing people to eBay. Are you fucking kidding me? So you Weird. Have to, you have to uncheck marketplace and do Sears only, which of course has nothing. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds like.
Yeah.
Survey says.
Yeah. Yep. So anywho. All right, well, we should, I do have a meeting tonight. I'm meeting up with Ian Hubert. So if you haven't had a chance yet, check out the official blender.org video of his talk in Amsterdam. It's fantastic. 30 minutes. You learn a ton about Blender. You learn a ton about modern VFX and kind of how it works with consumer grade hardware and stuff like that. So and you get to see my pretty face at the very end, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Very, very, very end, mind you. But yeah, so he's swinging by, and we're going to go discuss a bunch of stuff tonight. So that should be awesome. That being said, we should probably get to some questions.
Yeah.
Let's do last week's Bardic Question of the Week, which, you know, brilliant. Whoever came up with this, just oh, wait, no, it's kind of shitty. So our question last week was, what flavor, in quotes, which is unsettling, do you want to see take over the winter holiday season, dethroning pumpkin spice? And Rival says, Nog. Heaven help me, Nog. Obviously, he is a Deep Space Nine fan. I also like the Nog flavor. It is not dissimilar from pumpkin spice, though, if you take out the sourness of the vessel, like the actual eggnog liquid itself. The spices in there are very similar to pumpkin spice, so I don't know if it's a much, if it's a, enough of a diversion from that to dethrone it. That being said, I do love nog. Huge nog fan.
I need to pull that page up. Why is, there we go. Rob McLennan says caramel.
Wait. What's your nog take, man? We got to know your nog take.
Oh, I like nog.
Pro nog? Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody's pro nog.
Not with brandy. Oh, speaking of nog, I saw the most repulsive thing at Costco.
Egg was I nog, naked again?
Eggnog wine cocktail.
Well, sorry, Rival. You immediately lose. With this new information, we are canceling nog flavoring.
Yeah.
It's over.
I didn't even understand the packaging. It was like eggnog and orange. Something like not perfect orange wine, or I don't know. I don't get it. It was cheap enough. I almost bought it just to try because I do like eggnog. But then I was like, no.
Yeah,
nope.
No, that's a hard pass.
No, it's got to be thick and gelatinous and have lots of whiskey in it.
Yep.
Okay, so Rob McLennan says caramel or caramel, depending upon what side of the country you live in, would be my choice. It actually goes with stuff like coffee. Leave pumpkin spice for pumpkin pie. Or sweet potato pie.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I would like more things if they were pumpkin pie flavored, not pumpkin spice flavored, so they like actually included that pumpkin flavor with them. That's why the nog thing worries me a little bit.
Yes.
Because you're going to get the nog spice, but you're not going to get the nog flavor. Because pumpkin spice doesn't include the flavor of pumpkin pie. That being said, there is a... if you go to Sherry's, funny tip here, you can get any pie they have put into a milkshake. So you could have an actual pumpkin pie milkshake.
Really?
Just a heads up there. Yeah.
Mm.
Caramel is a great, great flavor. I love caramel, caramel. I've said it both ways my whole life, so I don't know what the hell coast I'm from.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like caramel corn and caramel corn. Love them both. I think when it's a color, it's always caramel, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's not. I don't care. Anyway, yeah. And just caramels, like just those little Kraft fucking caramels. Those things are so good.
Yeah.
We do have a keto-friendly caramel flavor vial that is fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, you can mix it in with like cream cheese and spread it on. So, okay. Do you ever watch Binging with Babish? We've talked about it a little bit.
Yes, I have seen that.
Right. Okay, so watch his crepe recipe. All you have to do is substitute almond flour and you can make those crepes.
Hmm.
And they're perfect. And they're 100% keto once you do that. So,
nice.
Yeah, that little bit of caramel flavoring mixed in with cream cheese and maybe a little dash of like Splenda. Mix that up, make it a little bit sweet, spread it on the crepe. Oh, baby, so good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. I started getting the sugar-free, like, Da Vinci coffee flavors to make ice creams.
Ah, good call.
And I started doing that
Yeah.
for, like, blueberry. Mm-hmm. I did one where I got a small amount of blueberries and blended them up. Color was much better when I did that. But then used that just to enhance it, and it was great. So now I'm like, yes, I'm going to start getting a number of those and just kind of going nuts. But we'll talk offline about the caramel that you got so that I can
use for
that.
Sure.
That would be good.
So a little bit of echo. Matthew Hunt writes, caramel or hazelnut for me. Maybe get chai latte in there. Yeah, chai latte. That's chai is another sort of, I don't know, it's a very autumnal flavor. I also like hazelnut, but I have an issue with hazelnut. And that is, there was a hazelnut craze for like 5 years. I'd say the late 90s to early 2000s. There was this fucking hazelnut craze where all creamer was hazelnut. All coffees had like hazelnut essence and all that. And it is not great if you overdo hazelnut.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone does actual hazelnut. It's always that hazelnut extract. You know, like almond extract doesn't taste like almonds. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But chai, I can get behind chai, like chai and caramel. I could do that.
Yeah. Gordon D. Duke says, I'd probably go with something like, or something in the porcine family. Pork belly or bacon, all the things. Bacon coffee, I cannot get behind, sorry.
Remember bacon salt?
Yep.
It was that like shakeable, it was vegan too. But is that shakeable bacon flavor? Yeah.
Although bacon vodka in a Bloody Mary is pretty goddamn great.
I just don't like tomato juice. I wish I did because that sounds amazing on paper. Maybe if I made it with tomato soup.
Yeah.
Be a little thicker. Maybe now we're back into Nog territory.
Or Clamato.
That's my dad's beverage. I will pass on the Clamato. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Seth M. Davis says, since pumpkin spikes, pumpkin spikes are very different. Since pumpkin spice season is also cold and flu season, I'd want garlic with its antibacterial and antiviral properties for staving off sickness to take over the winter holiday season. Like pumpkin spice pho?
The only problem with that is that any of the essences that we're talking about flavor-wise aren't going to have the antibacterial and antiviral properties in the garlic. Yeah. So you would have to have actual garlic in things. Yeah. Sorry for the knocking sounds. Ray is in the room in her cone of shame trying to scratch her ear not realizing that, well, that's not being effective. Oh, well, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Oh, dogs.
So you want me to read next week's question?
Sure.
Okay.
I think this is a good one. What do you think?
I haven't read it yet. I'm going to let you know when I get to the end.
Cool.
If you were forced to live in a fantasy world, book, game, movie, etc., for 1 week with the provisos that you cannot keep anything from that world, and if you die there, you die, what world would you choose and why?
Right. So you don't get to keep anything. You just basically get to go
hang out for a week.
Yeah. Go hang out in that world. And it's only a week, right? So you could probably take some pretty big risks, right? You could do Middle Earth for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's going to follow. I mean, everything there takes like 7 years to do. So you could totally make that happen.
I'm going to add a proviso to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I can be like Aquaman. I'm taking on that. I'm going to go hang out with him for
Atlantis,
a while.
Yeah.
And go into the oceans for a week with no scuba.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. For me, you don't get to take anything back, but that also means anything that you get done to you, you don't take back.
Oh, nice.
So like one of my thoughts was cooking mama. That'd be pretty sweet. But if I'm doing literature, I don't know. I might have to go for like Dragon's Blood, that universe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe something futuristic and sci-fi. Like, go check out, you know, because you could easily survive in the Star Wars universe for a week.
Yeah.
Just don't go to any of the major Republic planets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a nice, like, so you could do that. You could make that happen for a week. But I don't know if I would want to. You know, not getting to take anything back. Is it just going to be a week of me basically touring a shitty swamp? Because I'm not going to get, like, Jedi powers, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna stick with Cooking Mama on this one. Just eat all the things. It'll be great.
Excuse me.
All right. Oh, no worries. So now let's answer some of your questions. wait, what? Okay, let me bring these up here real quick. So starting with Matthew Hunt. Thoughts on Terminator Dark Fate, assuming you've seen it. Otherwise, ignore. Cool. Ignoring.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I'm actually excited to see what they do with it.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely have thoughts.
Yeah.
So basically, all of the... So Terminator 2 had an ending. So Terminator 3, all of the Terminators since then are like part of this big sort of Terminator 3... retcon.
Mm-hmm.
I really just have not been into any of them. You know, these are, yeah, I don't know. They're just not interesting to me at all. So that being said, you know, seeing Linda Hamilton mm-hmm. on screen again and seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger on screen, that might be fun. And I've heard the de-aging in this one is like top notch, like extra, extra. So that's interesting. But yeah. So what are your
nice
thoughts? So you're excited to see it.
Yeah. I've been a fan of, sorry, looking for the dog. Mm-hmm. I have been a fan of the Terminators. Mm-hmm. Though, like you, not all of them have been great or lived up to the hype or the expectation or anything. But I'm excited to see Linda Hamilton. I'm excited to see where this particular story mm-hmm. They choose to go with it. And if they're trying to bring it back up with some new people to reinvigorate it, or if this is like, okay, here's the definitive end all be all, we're done. Good night. Mm-hmm. Elvis has left the building, which is kind of where I hope it goes, but, probably not.
As long as they
can
print money. Yeah. I was going to say, as long as they can print money, you know, that is not where it's going to end.
Yep.
That being said, yeah, I mean, this has got to be it. I mean, I would assume this is it for this cast. You know, they're not bringing Edward Furlong back. That's not happening.
No.
But I'm guessing this is probably the last dance for Hamilton and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it might be worth seeing.
Yeah.
So in addition, Matthew says Outer Worlds and Disco Elysium Before Christmas. Awesome. Thoughts on both? Outer Worlds is excellent already. It's fantastic. It's part of Game Pass. Go out and get Game Pass. Disco Elysium, I have no idea. I have not heard anything about it. So I will go look that up and maybe have some words on it next week.
Oh, those are games. Okay. I thought that they were movies.
You have Game Pass. You should definitely check out Outer Worlds.
I don't have Game Pass.
You don't? I thought you had, because all the gold translated over to Game Pass. And I thought you had gold.
I did have gold. But that means that I can play any game?
Any game that's part of Game Pass, yes. Including on PC.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Then is Outer Worlds better on PC or on the Xbox?
A billion times better on PC.
Okay. I don't know how to do that. Maybe we'll talk about that later. I did not know that was open to me. So that's super.
Just search in the Windows Store for Game Pass, and that's all you need to do. It'll download the application you need and everything like that.
Oh, okay. Oh, my turn for questions. Sorry. Rob McLennan says, time change, stupid or monumentally stupid?
Monumentally stupid.
Yes.
I am sick of, because the interest on that spring forward is not worth that little extra hour that you're barely going to notice sleeping in on Sunday. The hour you miss, that lasts with you for like a month. The hour you gain is burned that day.
Yeah.
It's just, you're paying interest on this way too long. Fucking stupid. I don't want, I wish that we could just go to standard time all the time, but I know that Washington is pushing for daylight savings time all the time because candy companies and all that shit really want daylight savings time. Plus, I think there is an energy conservation thing with it, but it's not a ton. People work their shifts. It's like, that's just life. So yeah, I would push for standard time, but whatever gets us not doing the switch, A++.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I'm going to read this and you can just answer it. James Peters writes, Scobro, how was directing? Were there any unexpected difficulties and how did you tackle them? Please, please let Tom Brophy be an unexpected difficulty you tackled.
No, not in directing.
Well, just in life.
In life, yeah. But
tell us that story.
Tell us that story. Directing was very rewarding for me, all things being considered. It has been the other two full stage directing opportunities I've had. I have also done some staged reading directing, which even though they're full scripts and stuff, is not the same process length, duration wise. So you're not dealing with people really getting off book and a whole lot of blocking and tech and all that stuff. You're just trying to get some performances out of people to make it interesting because they're reading stuff. So those two things are completely different. So this was my first full, real, hands-on directing for somebody else, main stage. And there were some things that I learned for next time that I will hopefully make sure that I do. And most of that is in the prep, pre-production, liaising with various departments to make sure that your expectations are being met and they understand what the expectations are. Never assume anything. So I learned a lot in that. It was very rewarding from a, hey, everybody, this is a journey I want to go into, and this is, you know, where I want us to go. These are my thoughts on this. And people going, yeah, let's go. And working through those things were great. Some of the experiences were richer than others, either because someone was very inexperienced and I got them to another level, which is great. Or someone was super ready and off book from, you know, day two, and you really had the whole 6 weeks to work on nothing but nuance of character. That's a different kind of joy. But I'd say overall, the directing experience was very good. There were some things that happened in tech that I'm not going to talk about. That were not good. I'd like to think of them as an anomaly and something that came about through conditions put upon me. How do I want to say this? Things were found to be the fault of mine, which I had no control over them being the fault of mine. And we'll leave it at that. It was a couple day hiccup. And basically by that point, my job was already done. The cast had already come to where they needed to be. Were there some things that I was ultimately not happy with? Yeah. Were there some things that, all things being equal, I could have controlled better? Absolutely. And were there some things that were just going to be what they were, regardless of what I could or couldn't have done? Yes. So, any negatives that happened in the process are not going to deter me from pursuing that again. And in fact, I think I learned an awful lot and I'm excited to do it again. And I think that goes directly back. Also, that experience also goes to me wanting to start my class up again.
Right.
Because that directing experience and getting people places, and then this last weekend, and Steven being open to everyone making contributions, which I did frequently, really made me happy that I did have things that were constructive to say and that did help people. So, I think overall it was really good. Yes, there were unexpected difficulties, and most of them I tackled well. Some I didn't tackle at all. But basically it's just accepting most of the difficulties encountered were things that I didn't have control over. Promises that I made, let's say, to have the setup relatively soon, and then find out that they couldn't even start building the set until 10 days before we opened because there was scheduled in a renter, so we couldn't have anything on the stage. I made a promise to the cast that wasn't, there was no way could be delivered, and it was just finding creative ways to work around it. So kind of in improv, it's yes and. You never say no to anything. It's just yes and how can I move this along? So most of the difficulties were that way. My cast through the process was incredible, always giving, always willing to go the extra mile, do the crazy things, and if they didn't work, trusted me to say, oh, that was a horrible idea. Let's try something else. So, yeah, I think it was good.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up for this week. So, I guess without further ado, or with as much ado as we want, I suppose, we
can do it. Many thanks to our Patreon patrons, Hawk Robinson,
James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Stuart Hume,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Gordon D. Duke,
Dennis Nickel,
Jay Blanken,
Casey Lee,
Dougie Sharp,
Laura Red Scott,
Seth M. Davis,
Todd McKimmy,
Lotta Jerf,
Tom Brophy,
Laura Adams,
James Herbert,
Beau Pritchard,
Tim Martin,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
and Rival Guy.
I'm going to get that, Wascally Wabbits.